Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our good friend Maggie Mailer, an American artist whose work explores the overlap between play and diplomacy within the context of painting. She has long been a friend of this program, and we're thrilled that she is with us this morning. Her latest project is she's illustrated this beautiful new book called In a Pickle, which is a classic and modern tale about a clever young boy who fights schoolyard bullies with his mind instead of his fists. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Maggie Mailer back to the Roundtable. How are you, Maggie?
Hi, Joe. Great to talk to you.
Wonderful to talk to you. I thank you very much for taking part. This is a beautiful project. We'll get to your illustrations in a second, but what brought, give us a sense of your illustrating it. There was an amazing writer who wrote the text. How did the two of you get together? Give us a little bit of that story and ultimately how it came about.
Sure, and just before I do that, I wanted to let you know that as I was getting ready this morning, I told my mom I'd be on the radio with you, and she said, "Oh, I love Joe Donahue. Please say hi."
Oh, well, that's...
So, I thought that was really sweet.
Thank you very much. I love your mom very much. That's very sweet.
So
thank you.
Martinko is the pen name of Marty Tuckman, who works with my brother, John Buffalo Mailer. And about 2 years ago, you know, they had a film company together. Marty had this text that he had written about his own childhood and handed it to my brother, who's comes up with a creative ideas for the team. And said, "What do you think we could do with this?" And John Buffalo said, "Well, this would be a great children's book," and handed it over to me. And so I did a few sketches, thinking nothing was going to come of it, because I had illustrated one other children's book in black and white, but this, you know, this felt brand new. And a year went by, and then in October of 2019, we got a red light, and they found this amazing publisher, Hatton and Beard Press, based in Los Angeles. And as soon as I heard that, I was like really super excited because they actually are an art book publisher. So to know that they would be putting this book out into the world was like a big, you know, yes for me. I was really excited to be part of that. And that's how it started. And then a little while into the project, well, before I started working on it, I found out that it was going to also become an animated short. At the same time. So I wound up working on the book and the animation with the animator concurrently, and I would love to talk about that process because that was really amazing. The film has already been released to festivals and has actually already won two Silver Awards at the Independent Shorts Award, and narrated by Peter Coyote. It's just such a wild project. So.
It's a beautiful piece. I was watching it the other night. It's gorgeous. Give us a sense of how that so the illustration in that and how then that works with what you're doing for the book.
So I would work on the illustrations for the book, you know, in like any other thing that I might be working on. And then in order to hand it over to the animator, whose name is Tara Henderson, and she's phenomenal, I had to hand her everything in layers in a digital format. So rather than one single image, I had to extract parts and pieces out. So the characters, the background, the foreground, anything else that I, you know, thought might be important. And then she sort of performed some kind of magic on it, and I was really blown away. But the part that was so fascinating was that because I was doing this at the same time as the book, I started learning about animation, thinking about animation, and it changed my style because I realized that I was really married to the computer and to working in a digital format. Even though I was producing the images in watercolor. And so it became this really beautiful, for me, like beautiful marriage between the softness of the watercolor and then the kind of what I think of digital media as being inherently cold. And because last year, you know, we were all in quarantine and in the house, you know, much of the time, I felt like I had to make friends with the medium of the digital world. And so this book really was a way for me to do that. And it became this conversation between, you know, the computerized image and the watercolor, which has a completely different presence. And, you know, I felt like it made sense in the context of the book, which is about this very young boy who's starting to go out into the world. He goes to school very early and he's meeting the world. And I felt like the watercolors spoke about the world of childhood and the digital presence, which it's pretty subtle, but, you know, if you look in the illustrations, you can see where there might be a sharp edge that wouldn't normally be there. And I really played with that. And that for me spoke of the world of adults and brought it into the world that we live in now, even though the book was set, you know, a long time ago.
You know, Maggie, one of my favorite things, and I say this seriously, but one of the great challenges and one of the things I love more than anything is talking about visual art on the radio. It is so much fun. So let me, because I know no one can say what we're talking about, but you had me in this book. I think it was on the seventh or eighth page where the little boy, you're saying to the dad is reading the paper and the New York Times, and the page is, if he refused to read to me, I would crawl into his lap and cover up the words until he relented. The face of the little boy is so gorgeous and so perfect and so has such expression and such depth and such beauty, and the hair and the eyes and the cheeks, and what I find interesting is as your eye moves to the right, as you see the outfit that the boy is wearing, then it becomes a bit more abstract because that is the watercolor and the lines are not as straight, but that face is so perfect, and then because that is what our eye then trains on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you focus on that, because I was thinking a lot about how to bring together the literal imagery of the text, you know, and a much more abstract presence, because that is, you know, my background isn't I work with oil paints, and I used to make representational landscape paintings, but just in the last 5 years or so, the work has become abstract, and that's how I think. And it was really a challenge for me to work in a way that felt authentic for me, so that I was including a hand and a way of thinking that feels close to home, you know, and also honoring the story and making the images accessible to everyone. I'm glad you noticed that. Thank you.
No, it's beautiful. There's another piece that goes on later in the book where the kid keeps going to school and his lunch keeps on getting taken away from him, and they're playing ball with his lunch, basically. And there's a beautiful painting that you have of the lunch sort of vaulting through the air next to a basketball hoop as a boy is jumping up for it. And the expression on the kids is just perfectly, because you can tell that there are some kids who are just sort of watching in horror, and then you can tell who the villains are, who are sort of are rooting for the bad guy. And I thought that was really cool, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had so much fun with the expressions. And a lot of them just happened. You know, I didn't really plan each one. I was sort of trying to like feel the story. And I was surprised by a lot of the characters who came through in the process of making the book. So it was fun.
Do you see this fundamentally changing the way you do things going forward, or is it it's like, oh, well, this is fun to play with, and then I'll go back and do what I love to do?
It's a good question. I think because the book was made, you know, it took a year to make, and it started in maybe February of 2020, and went really until the end of the year. And so it was such a really a deep process for me working on this book week after week, that I don't think it will go away. I think something changed. I've somehow been internally reorganized by working on it. And I don't know how it will show up, but I'm sure it will. And also it was just it really was a joy to work on something that I knew would become a book, because, I mean, just having grown up in a literary family and having books, you know, just have such a large presence in my life. I love the idea of making a book, and so I want to make more. And yeah. I don't know what form that will take. That was really exciting.
You're, of course, your father, Norman Mailer. And let me ask you about that. What was his appreciation for illustration with the written word?
You know, that actually, I can't think of a time when that came up.
Yeah.
He made his own drawings, actually, and he would give them little captions. And he was really proud of them. And sometimes they were great. And sometimes we would tease him and say, Dad, that's really not so great. Like, you know, he was so much about the word. So
yeah.
I think it was actually a surprise for him when I started painting, because I think he thought I would go into writing. And, you know, like the book feels in a way for me like a synthesis of that experience, you know, of growing up with words as foreground and but needing to express myself visually.
It is.
So I was actually really grateful to have to work on it. And it was, you know, it was looking back on the book now, I look at it and think, I don't know how this happened and who made it.
It seems, you said it took a year. It would seem to me it would take that long because each is a work. Do you do them in sequence or how does that necessarily
pan out? Oh, no. I just tackled the book in a really intuitive way and maybe started in the middle and went back and forth. It's just how I tend to work. I didn't really know which image I would work on from week to week. Well, probably for the first half of the process, you know, the first 6 months. And at a certain point, things lock into place and then it's clear. It's like a puzzle, you know, what I needed to do next. But I love the uncertainty of it. It might have driven the production team crazy because I think it was such an unorthodox way to work. But also because I was working with the animator, it kind of necessitated this. I was working with layers and swapping, you know, parts of one image back and forth with a background from another page. So I needed to keep it as fluid as possible and yet deliver work. You know, each week I would hand in something and it was done. I try to keep the process as close to my own painting process as possible, which is what I just described. You know, it's a lot of jumping into the unknown.
I have a very technical question, and again, this is more toward people who have seen the book, but I think it's instructive even if you haven't. First of all, I don't want to give anything away, but there's snakes in the book and they're really cool. Okay, but there's a scene later on in the book where said snakes sort of come out, and one of the kids is dealing with those, and the lunch is up in the air and so forth. And there's this is page 43, by the way, if you're keeping track at home. And there's a boy on the right hand side, and it's as if it almost like a cutout. Where the boy is there, and there's sort of a green shadow that comes around him that is on a blue-gray background. So that is that added? Is that sort of mixed? How did that work?
Well, that's what I was referring to when I said that knowing that I was working in layers and delivering work to an animator changed the style a little bit, because at a certain point, in order to do that, you have to. Say I have a painting. Then to hand it into to Tara Henderson, I had to cut it out and feather the background and make it look seamless with the background. But there was a certain moment when I was working when I realized that I actually preferred the cutout look, because it invoked the digital medium and it invoked the process of making the book and the film at the same time, which was sort of a personal reference for me. But it felt like a way of making friends with this extra digitized medium. So I did it on purpose, and I kept invoking that throughout the book. And there, it's really obvious. But if you look, it's on almost every page.
I
sort of fell in love with those hard edge lines.
It is, and it's fascinating, because if you look at the left hand of that image, the snakes don't have that. It's just, you know, they're on the background, whereas the boy has this surrounding, if you will, like a cutout. And it's really neat of how it images together, because. It looks natural and almost gives it depth, a 3D effect, which is fascinating.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, glad you liked it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful stuff. The other thing that I love about your work is color. You are certainly not afraid of color, are you?
I love working with color, and I was really encouraged to do that. Jennifer Gelfer, who's a director and part of the Mailer Tuckman team, worked with me each week, and I would check in with her, and she just kept saying, push the color as much as possible, and I was thrilled that she wanted to do that. And sometimes, often, I would think I had, and she would say, no, more color. So that was really fun.
Sometimes there's muted backgrounds, but sometimes you just have these bright reds and oranges and yellows.
Yeah,
and it's really
exactly.
Beautiful. Yeah, gorgeous stuff. Okay, I have, I'm told I have to wrap up with you in 90 seconds, which I hate doing because I love talking to you. But, so what's the next project? Do you know yet?
Well, I'm working on a sort of cycle of paintings that are almost like an expanded book, but on a large scale. So they're big. They're like 6 by 8 feet, and it may take me a while, but I will definitely keep you posted when I get closer to, releasing that.
Okay.
And and then we're also working with Horizons National, which is a nonprofit for under-resourced children in cities throughout the country, and we'll be doing events with them for the book. So that's really exciting too.
And it's a great program that closes the gaps of opportunity and access for students in under-resourced communities. And you can find out about them online. It's Horizons National. Maggie Mailer, you're the best. Thank you very much. So, yes, please keep us up to date on what's coming on. I hope you'll come back with us. Give my love to your mom. And have a beautiful rest of the winter. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you so much, Jill.
All right. Take care of yourself. Thank you.
Take care.
Again, the name of the new project is In a Pickle. It is a beautiful book illustrated by Maggie Mailer. And you can find out more information online. In a Pickle, illustrated by Maggie Mailer. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.